just one verse. Hebrews 11, verse 10. Hebrews 11, verse 10. This is about Abraham leaving his hometown, where he's from, Ur of the Chaldees, or Ur, you are. That was his city. In fact, it was the major city of the day. It was Washington, D.C., or New York, or whatever, or Dallas, or something. The great city of the empire. And this is what it says, that he was, in verse 9, it says, he sojourned there in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, his son and grandson, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked, verse 10, for a city which has foundations, plural, whose builder and maker is God. Now, today, as I woke up, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. You know, this year we've been told by the Holy Spirit, told by God, that God wants to affirm his ancient promise of heaven on earth. That what God originally intended before the foundation of the world was to create the world and all mankind so that we would experience and have heaven on earth. Now, the word that he gave me this morning as I woke up, and it was a word I never had thought about. And so he said, heaven and earth is a human decision. It's a human choice. In other words, God has decided to have heaven on earth, but he won't force that. He won't give you heaven on earth. You must also choose that based on his choice. He has chosen that. For example, he does not want you to be miserable, unhappy, you know, bondage, confused, darkness, chaos. He wants you to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, those nine fruits of the Spirit. He wants you to actually experience heaven on earth. And since that's his will, which he will not force, it's voluntary, he then leaves you free. You can either be free or slave. But he wants you to be free. I want you to know, because a lot of Christians don't even know this, let alone the world, because we have had 6,000 years of bondage and of slavery. And it's still in the churches. It's not just in the society. All the other religions all put the whole weight of your heaven, of your eternal salvation, on your behavior. Ours is the only religion, and it's not even known in the churches. I'm not indicting them. I'm just simply saying it's a fact that the churches, though they talk about the promises of God and faith and joy and peace and all that, actually they don't practice that. They don't live that. We are not the light of this world, nor are we the salt of the earth. And the whole blame lies on us for laboring, for trying to make something happen that God swore an oath to promise to do. He wants heaven on earth. Now, I would say clearly that today our nation is divided. A house divided against itself cannot stand. But it isn't the house, the social, the economic, the political things that are happening out there in the world. Those are symptoms of a weakness or a division in the foundation. And the foundation of our nation, of our people, of our world, is heaven's promise, foundational, based on the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, in the land where Abraham was told, get out of the country you're in and go to a country I'm going to show you. I'm not forcing you to go. I'm telling you a promise. I will take you there. I will show you a land. And, of course, he has to leave a civilization built on sand. Sand is something we understand because when the floods come, then the thing washes away. You build a trailer and you put it on a sandy spot, and then a storm comes, blows it down, or a hurricane, or, you know, some kind of awful thing, or it rains too much or whatever else, and the trailer's gone. So the house is dependent on whether you have a rock that doesn't move, cannot be shaken, or whether you're building it on sand. Now, the sand is human nature. If you build anything, your own life, your church, your government, your economy, anything, if you build anything on human nature, it is absolutely doomed to failure. It will not stand. It will not last. A storm will come. A flood will come. Destruction will come. And it's going to throw it down. So today, there's more likelihood after 6,000 years of us failing than of succeeding. There's more likelihood today that we will degenerate and go right back to the vomit and the filth that we started from, the chaos and the darkness and the hopelessness and the misery and the slavery. And that's possible not just in the rest of the world, it's possible right here in Texas. It's possible right here in the United States. Our country is falling apart. And there's no leaders that actually can do anything about it. The leaders that we have talk, but they're not able to actually do anything because the ultimate problem lies in the human heart, a divided heart. A heart that's divided will produce a house that's divided. Anything you build on a divided heart will be divided. So since we're of two opinions and we're limping along with two opinions, today we have a problem in that it looks like man will always choose slavery when he makes any choice whatsoever. He'll always choose misery when he has a choice. And history is proof of that, that even the church itself will go back to the same paganism, to the same Baal worship, to the same denial of God, to the same forgetting of God, to the same chaos, to the same law, legalism, hypocrisy, and corruption that we've had from the beginning of the earth. Now, what Abraham found when he went to Ur was heaven on earth. And what he found was faith in the promise of Jesus Christ. Faith in the promise of Jesus Christ. And he confessed it. And so he left believing that God was going to take him to see something, and all he saw was nothing. He didn't see anything when he got there. All he saw was some rocks, a pile of rocks. If you've ever been to Israel, it's just a pile of rocks. It absolutely has no hope except that little skinny little river that goes down. It's not very big. You can spit across it, the Jordan River. And there's a sea there, and then there's another sea, and the second sea is the Dead Sea, and the first sea is the Galilean Sea. And that's where Jesus had his ministry. But the truth is, there's no hope in that land without water. And today's biggest problem is going to be water. We don't have potable, drinkable water. That's certainly not even for our industry, which has to have pure water. And so therefore, we're about to fall apart because we don't have the energy to produce it or the finances to do the energy and blah, 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 blah. It's all problems and troubles and difficulties and darkness. And now we're told in our own nation that you're going to have to get adjusted to that, that we're going to have a lower lifestyle, no more happiness, no more self-government, no more freedom, no more anything except more and more poverty and you know, troubles and difficulties. Here's what I believe. I believe God wants heaven on earth. I believe that. So I've decided to choose that because I believe his promise is certain. It is unshakable. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So therefore, I'm choosing that, and I have for years. And choosing that, I'm actually making that possible, and I'll suffer for it. And I intend to suffer for it. I intend physically to die, if necessary. But I will suffer for it, and instead of retiring and, you know, living on some lake somewhere or driving a bicycle or something, I'm not going to do it. Because I'm not interested in retirement. I don't have any desire at all to retire and to do that, because we need today to choose heaven on earth, and we don't have it. And it's not in the churches. I wish it was that the salt of the earth and the light of the world was in the churches, which is why he created them to give hope through the promise. We're still back under law. We're back under blaming God. God, this is all your fault, or the devil made me do it, or demons are all over me, or whatever. And people constantly want, you know, Pastor, deliver me. If you just could deliver me, I'd be okay, and so on. It's all nonsense. Those are all. Take responsibility. You did everything you did because you chose wrong. It was your choice. You had the freedom, you had the truth, you had, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, you heard that, but you rejected it because you'd rather live according to your own juices, according to your own wisdom, according to your own knowledge, and even though you believe in God, you actually are with him with your lips, but your heart is far from him. Or you have a new heart, but you never went on to chair 5 and 6 and so on, so you didn't really want to be sanctified, and you really didn't want to suffer, and you really didn't want all that. You're hoping that things will just continue as they are, and you already know they're not, and they're not going to continue. So Adolf Hitler's back again, and Mao Zedong, and you know all the junk that we thought we were free from, we're not. We're falling right back into persecution of Christians. And so, therefore, there's no spiritual liberty, because we used our liberty to do license. In other words, we used the freedom that we had not to worship God with all our heart and soul and strength. Maybe we wanted to have all our heart with God. Okay, we got a new heart. But faith is only the beginning. And I've taught that for years and years and years and years and years and years. But it isn't he who begins. It's he who endures to the end. And it's the endure part that no one wants. The end we want. But you can't just go from faith to, you know, happiness. You can't just do that. Faith will never end up in love unless you die in the middle. He took up his cross. That's what your faith is in. But you must now take up your cross and say, God, my heart may be pure right now, but my soul is not restored. He restoreth my soul. But it's not, because we don't have a shepherd, because we abandon him and we trust ourselves on a daily basis, and we don't trust God. We don't really, even though we believe in God, we believe in him from a distance, and we're not really doing it. Now, how many know that we're not really having heaven on earth? And your nation, you might think the bad guys are going to go away. They're not. They're not going to go away. You're not going to be able to kill them off. You're not going to be able to abandon them and go to some other place. There is no other place to go. This is it. This is the only hope. And this nation today is absolutely, totally, 100% going to the dogs. It's divided, and those in power today are not us. And every time us gets in power, we screw it up too. So I don't believe in them, and I don't believe in us. And I don't believe in the churches. And I know one of the parties is very interested in God. And we talk about God, one nation under God, one state under God, and so on. It's just talk. And where I see the meanness and the nastiness is in that group. The other group is just polluted and to the gills, and the group that's going to offer hope is just talk. And they're as greedy and as wicked and as nasty and as judgmental and as critical, and they want their pure little group to win and everybody else to be excluded. It's just sick. And I love politics. I think it's wonderful to be there, because I like being a testimony in the midst of darkness. Why? Because I've chosen heaven on earth. So I believe in heaven on earth. And I believe that all the sin in the world isn't going to stop God from doing heaven on earth. I don't care how much sin there is. I don't care how bad the wicked is. I don't care how much I die, how many times I die. I guess I only have one life. I don't care. Because I believe totally that what I'm saying is certain, because it's written in the Bible. And I don't want security. I don't want any security in this world. Now, all young people do. They want emotional happiness and, you know, a job someday and so on. It's not going to happen. You're not going to have that. You're not going to get that unless you believe this, that city that Abraham found was not a city. You could call it Jerusalem, but it's really Mount Zion or Mount Moriah or Mount Calvary or whatever. It's all the same. That's where the hope is, because there's where the promise of God, only place on earth, not Fort Worth, not Dallas, not in New York City or some other place or Paris or London or whatever. No, it's right there in that city. That's where Abraham saw Jesus' day 2,000 years prior. And today we look back on Jesus which looks back on Abraham, which looked back on God, who before the foundation of the world, 6,000 years ago, set a rock down, but the rock wasn't a rock. The rock was the promise of God that Jesus Christ would come, forgive your sins, and then fill you with the Holy Ghost, and then transform you into his likeness, and then cause you to be a lover so that you would be the light and you would be the salt of the earth. Well, we've had that for 2,000 years now, where it's clear that it was Jesus, that Abraham's faith, he was the father of faith, Abraham's children then was the Jesus people. But now we the Jesus people, have messed up. We got up to bat and we flunked. You know, we failed. We batted out. We're out. And I believe today that that's not true, even though I can see it's true. I can see today the church is not the church. And he has to divide his foolish virgins from his wise virgins. He has to divide the chaff from the wheat. You know what's going to happen when you do that? Persecution. Those that are divided off us, the good guys, we're the ones that are going to be persecuted and hated. And I'm afraid I have not trained you to love that time when that comes. I've given you the concepts, but I'm afraid you're not ready for persecution and hatred and being despised by the news media, by the politicians, by laws. New laws will be made to cause you to have zero freedom, zero hope, just like every other nation on earth today. Now, because of what I just said, I don't believe that, even though I just said it. I believe that's what, you know, is true. That looks true. I don't believe that's the truth. I believe the truth is I choose, and I want you to choose today, to have, want, and help to bring about heaven on earth freely. Freely. Amen. Just freely. That you really want to read the Bible every day and praise him and adore him, because there isn't any other hope. And but I don't have any hope in the Republican convention this time. As a matter of fact, which will be here this whole week, starting tomorrow. I don't have any hope in that at all. As a matter of fact, it's worse than the other party. At least the other party's smart. They know, you know, there's no hope, so they're not promising anything. This one is promising a lot and can't deliver it because they're utterly, utterly, totally, utterly confused. Because they don't know that there's a city with a foundation, and we're not that city. And we should be related to that city, but I think the people here just want, you know, keep the American dream alive or something. It's not going to be. You're not going to keep the American dream alive unless there is a spiritual revival among the churches, and there's not today. The Christians are the ones that are the most judgmental, the most foolish, the most, they're on chair four. The furthest they've got is chair four. I believe many of them are chair four. But what good is that if you don't reach chair six? I know you don't know the chairs right now, but still. Meaning, we are justified by faith, but faith without works. Faith without any fruit. Faith without it's got to be voluntary. God won't force it. God's not going to force that. If you don't choose yourself, this is your choice now, not God's. If you don't choose heaven on earth, I want heaven on earth, start with me, then with my family, then with my church, then with my city, then with my country and nation, so on and so forth, and then with the world. Well, we haven't gotten very far. And I know there are signs that God's still alive and well, but the truth is, the whole world today is caught up either in materialism on one side or socialism on the other side or some other kind of ism, you know, crazy stuff. And it's all Baal. Every single bit of it is all what we originally came from, which is that man at his best state is altogether vanity. And most of the church today just uses Jesus and uses God and uses Christianity to produce some behavior. That's all. Just some moral behavior. And most Christians just hope their kids don't get in trouble. They don't really want them to fall in love with Jesus or know his word or believe in his promises. They just simply want them to behave. Hey, don't take drugs and don't sleep around and don't do this and do that. And that's exactly what they go and do. Because what you want is not going to happen because you didn't do what God said had to be done, which is voluntarily seek ye first the kingdom of God and I'll give you everything else. If you had sought for that, you would have it. So today, our young people are completely going to be brutalized and tyrannized by people that are not you. You don't have control. Your children are not your own. I don't know if you know that. Children belong to the state. Your churches are not your own. They're 501c3 and, you know, state incorporated and local tax exemption and all that. They think it benefits from man. This is not a God-built church. This is a man-built church. This is not a city with a foundation. The 12 stones underneath that city, the 12 foundations are Matthew and Mark and so on. They're the 12 disciples. They're named in the Bible. Now, I believe that city will be built and is being built, and I think, for me, it's already done. For me, it's already done. But you need to make that decision. I want to see heaven on earth. I don't want to just say it, because the minute you believe in it, you won't see it. Just believing is not seeing. And you can't make it, you can't make your faith turn into sight. Because you're going to have suffer next. Chair 5 is suffering. The minute you believe in it, you'll be tested. We'll see if you believe in it. And then the devil will have his antichrist and all that kind of stuff. And God will allow it. God told you about that. I'm going to send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. How many know sheep in the midst of wolves, a wolf pack around one sheep, is going to be really bad for the wolves, because that sheep is going to scare them. I don't think so. I don't think that little sheep has any power to scare them. Boo. You know, I don't think it. I don't think. So why does God send us out as sheep in the midst of wolves? In other words, it's a dark world. It's chaos. You are a hairbreadth away from absolute slavery, chaos, darkness, hopelessness, misery, and so on. All the laws are being changed. All of your constitution is gone. Your Bill of Rights, gone. Your Declaration of Independence, gone. Nobody who's in charge today has any power to make any of those things real. They don't have any intention. They never discuss those things when we meet together. Those things are irrelevant, even though they say the words. They're just pure nothing. Nobody makes a decision based on the foundation. I argue always from foundation. I always argue from the foundation. You can't get me to forget the foundation when I'm talking about anything in this world, or in my family, or in my personal life, or in my health, or in my wealth, or in anything. You can never get me to lose the foundation. But 99.999% of the people in the church, they don't argue from the foundation. They don't argue from the promise. They may say promise, but they actually live by laws. In other words, you're still afraid. You're still nervous. You're still afraid. People want emotional happiness. They don't want truth. I don't want emotional happiness. I do not want emotional happiness. I'm happy all the time, but I'm not looking for it. I don't want it. But I get it anyway, because I'm not looking for it. Because I'm not looking for it, and I'm not desperate for it, and I'm not going to sell my soul for it, I'm going to do everything to get myself in trouble. I actually experience emotional happiness all the time. I do. Because I think suffering is happy. I think when I suffer for you or for my wife or for the church or for whatever, it's fine. That's a good thing. I'm happy about it. But most people are afraid of that. That's just flesh. That's just your flesh. I don't want my flesh to be happy. But most people do want to eat, you know, and fill their belly. Their belly is their God. Their belly, what they eat is their God. And they just always want their... I always say this after I go out to eat or someplace, and there are people. I always say, I'm not angry anymore because I have a full belly. An angry person is a hungry person. But if you feed them, they're happy. So it's a good secret when you bring someone over or whatever, feed them something, they'll be happy. And, you know, young people, when they have a party, they always have booze or they always have drugs or they always have something to make people happy. But I don't believe that's the church. I believe what we're giving out is not, people are not hungry for it. Would you like to hear the truth? No. They don't want to hear the truth. You want to be a slave? People will choose slavery over liberty every single time. You have 6,000 years of history to prove it. What's preeminent out there in the world is not the Church of Jesus Christ. What's preeminent out there is the flesh. even in the church of Christ. So paganism, we didn't defeat paganism. Paganism defeated the church. You had the Roman Catholic Church for 1,000 years polluting the world with its lies and its fornication and its arrangement with the state. There's no freedom there. There was darkness, and yet it's still here. And this present pope is an idiot, a complete idiot, because all they're after, all they've ever been after is, you know, to behave yourself. That's all. There was no Jesus in it. There was no God in it. It's not a God-made institution. It's a man-made institution. Its foundation is man and human nature. Just put them in fear and guilt, and you got a church. And Catholics are still that way today. They don't even know theology. They don't need to. They just trust the priest or trust the pope or trust somebody. Well, we broke that in the Reformation way back in the 16th century. But the Protestant churches today are just the same as the Catholic churches, who are just the same as the Jewish, who are just the same as the pagans. They're all under law. They're under rules. They're under shallowness. I know most of you don't even know what I'm talking about. But I'm sharing with you what God shared with me is that this world needs heaven on earth. Now, I've chosen it. I'm totally going to win. I'm not going to lose. And I don't care if I die today. If I physically die, if somebody comes in and shoots me or whatever, I'm happy with that. That's good. Because this has nothing to do with me. My believing it or my choosing it does not make it happen. His promise is the certainty that it will happen. I have no doubt about it. And I don't have to be here to see it. I don't need to see it to believe it. So the certitudo, Latin for certainty, the certitudo of God's promise is greater than the certainty or the security of getting a reward for doing good. I don't want that. I don't want a reward for doing good. As a matter of fact, I want punishment for it. Because anyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted. If you live a godly life, you'll be hated, despised, misunderstood, persecuted, and so on. I want that. I expect that. How many here are excited about that? That you hope the next time you share that someone will spit on you. That someone just spit right in your face. I tell you, that's what I want. That's the early church, you remember when that happened? They just rejoiced. Thank God we were able to take up our cross daily and finish the sufferings of Jesus. How many thought that was your prayer this morning? Lord, let me suffer for Jesus today. How many know that is not your prayer? Because your prayers come out of your flesh rather than out of your spirit. But I'm just telling you, I don't need to win, and I'm not going to win. I'm not trying to win, but I know God will win. And God's going to have his way. And it'll be a numberless host, so I'm not worried about how many of the good guys have and how many of the bad guys have. I know we're going to win. So I don't have any doubt, and I don't have any doubt about sharing this right here, because I know that what started last year in July, I think it was July 9, in Dallas, at the, what was that hotel we were in? Crown Plaza, over there on Midway or one of those streets. And I know that what God told me happened right there in that moment. And there were about, let's say, 800 people. I don't know what was in the room, but there were 800 people or so. And I know they all went back throughout the whole United States to spread that word that was given from God by the man who spoke. And I got up and spoke, and I shouldn't have. I don't have any authority to do it. But somehow the man who's now dead, who founded the whole thing, I went to him and I said, you know, I'd like to share the word of the Lord. I have God's word. And he didn't know what I was talking about, but just you shouldn't have risked it, because there were 40-some people up on the stage. Missionaries and all kinds of leaders and rulers, and not me. But I told Peggy, I'm going to go forth, and I don't know. I just feel God wants me to do it, so I did it. I got up and I shared, and a lot of people came afterward and said, "What you shared was the word of the Lord," and I knew it was. I mean, I don't need them to say it, but I also was, you know, looking for that one person afterward. You remember Nicodemus, how he came to Jesus by night. But then people began to phone call and to speak. And I realized that this was the beginning of the end. In other words, this is what God was talking about. How many know today if we got persecuted, many of us would not be Christian enough to be persecuted? In other words, they're only going to persecute those that are completely sold out. They're not going to be persecuting the, you know, the middle of the road type Christians who just believe in Jesus and that's about it. Because there's no fear of them, because they didn't go anywhere. They weren't light and salt. But they'll persecute the light. They hate the truth. And they'll persecute that. And so I don't think we're ready yet to be persecuted. I think we have to grow a little bit before we're worthy of suffering for his name's sake. So that when it happens, remember I've taught you three things to do when bad things come. Does anybody remember what I said? You do?
Rejoice.
Praise God.
And repent.
It's not true, but you got part of it right. Okay, here's what you do. First, you confess your own sin. Then you praise God, rejoice. And then you bless your enemies. That is a sign that when you're being persecuted and hated, you actually bless the person. Let's say there's someone who's wicked as all get out, and they wear it on their sleeve. In other words, you can just tell by looking at them, they don't look like they love Jesus. And you can just see them. Do you hate the sin, or do you hate the person? In other words, could you bless the person while despising the sin on the inside because you love that person and don't want them bound up? Or would you judge them purely because of their lifestyle or how they appear, the clothing they're wearing, or, you know, whatever, how they're decorated up or whatever? It's nothing to do with anything. You are to love your enemy, and everybody is either an enemy or a friend, and you're to love them equally. You're not to love the one more than the other. We're just to love everybody. Why? Tell them the truth. Be heaven on earth. And be it in such a way that when you see someone being hated, go and join yourself to that person, even if they're an enemy, even if they're the ones hating you, and suffer. The world will not be won without that kind of willingness to say, I believe God's kingdom should be on earth today, and I'm going to be at the kingdom. I don't need anyone else. I don't need my family. I don't need my friends. I don't need the church. I don't need anyone else. I'm just going to have heaven on earth. So I'm going to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. I'm going to have all of those just issuing out for me, no matter what. Well, to do that, you'd have to be dead. That's why you take up your cross, so you can be crucified. So say, God, I can't do that. Man in his best state's altogether vanity. All my righteousness, a filthy rag. But you can do that by killing me so that there's no more me. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live. Different eyes. I live by the faith of Jesus Christ, who died, gave himself for me, who loves me. So you can't be you anymore. Now, we're not talking about the natural you. It is no longer I that live. We're not talking about the natural you. That's the selfish you. That's the sinful you. That's the hypocritical, phony, moral, pretending like you're nice you. That one needs to die. That was the you made. That was the you chose. That is your essential nature, which you chose, which God did not choose for you. He only said, choose this. But you still have to choose it. He gave you the freedom. So if your essential nature is selfish, but you pretend like you're religious, you're a liar and a hypocrite. So which one are you? Are you the one you say you chose or the one you actually chose? So what God wants is to not choose at all, because the one choice you cannot make, I can either be an open sinner or I can be a pretended not sinner when I am a sinner. Open. But I didn't open. I closed. So it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. But the I that's your natural I, the one that he created, you must preserve. You can't crucify that. You can't kill that one. You can't destroy that one. Now, look, I know that most of you are not going to like this message, but it's okay. You need to hear this message because I believe it's God. That Abraham went to find a city which had a foundation, but it had 12 foundations to it, and he found it. But it wasn't a rock. It was Jesus Christ, the cornerstone that God had laid 6,000 years ago. And when Abraham went, that was just 2,000 years into the world. And 2,000 years later, Jesus shows up, and 2,000 years later is us today. We're at the end of man. Six is the number of man. 6,000 years. A day with the Lord is 6,000 years. A day was 1,000. So we got six of them. Now, there's one left, the millennium. Now you say, well, yes, Pastor, what you just said is going to be true in the millennium. I don't see that. Of course it'll be true in the millennium when only the righteous will win. We're talking about now, today, before the millennium. And it's very close. It'd probably be in many of your lifetimes, maybe mine. I don't know. Depends on if I live to be 120 or not. But I don't believe it's going to be soon, right away. I think it's going to degenerate and degenerate and degenerate, and you're just going to watch it collapse like on the Titanic and just watch it sink and move a few chairs around. I believe this is the most exciting day to be alive, but only if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, it's not going to work. Because you'd have to believe that, and by the way, your believing is not some quality inside of you. That's just a response to a promise. You're totally, your choice is predicated totally, based upon totally, the foundation of God's choice. God chose liberty for you, not slavery. He chose blessing for you, not curse. He chose light for you, not darkness. He chose heaven for you, not just an earth that has no heavenly foundation. He wants your city, your life, your economy, your everything. And therefore, I believe our political parties today are in trouble. But you can't solve them politically. You have to solve them religiously. But our religion is what's wrong. Our religion is the heart. It's the essence. It's the thing that's really bothering God is we have divided hearts. Instead of a heart that's pure, completely so based upon the Word of God, that your heart is clean, it's pure, your conscience is clear because of the mercy of God and the power of God through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe we're going to live in a day in which we see, don't read the newspapers because it's not going to be in the newspapers. Don't listen to the television, it's not going to be on the television. It's just going to be something that happens quietly in our lives as you live personally. Now, I believe it started last year, and I believe it's going to fill not only all of Texas, but all of the United States and all of the world. That the whole world has been waiting for this moment. Now, this is so extravagant, you don't have to believe it. I'm not imagining you all will believe it. But what I'm telling you is what I believe. I believe it. If I'm all alone, I'm fine. But I believe that God is going to bring out the best that He has saved now to the last. And it's not us. We're not the best. We're not the best. Could I hear an amen? Amen. We're not the best. We're just simply gawking and hoping, oh, okay, yes, maybe. You know. But there are, God is going to do some things supernaturally that will shock all the pundits. They're trying to figure out right now whether the Tea Party has elected all these people or the religious right or, you know, the fiscal conservatives and so on. It's all nonsense. It's all nonsense. And they can't figure it out. And even the people that are in it don't know. Because it isn't Tea Party. That's just another thing that's come up. But actually, if you count the votes, the real votes, where they came from, it's the religious right, but they're the most hypocritical of all. And they actually swayed the thing. In other words, if you really add the real votes and find out where everybody was, it wasn't the Tea Party. The Tea Party played a role, but not the role. And the religious, evangelical, charismatic, whatever, they voted, but they didn't vote because they knew what they were voting for. They just voted because of some rhetoric. Oh, this guy's a Christian. No, let's vote for him. And so he got in, and he may have no qualifications whatsoever, but because he said he was a Christian, he got in. That's an embarrassment. I just want you to know ahead of time, I guarantee you, it's an embarrassment. Because it's not going to show that we're leaders, it's going to show that we're fools. And therefore, maybe many Democrats will win in the fall. And you're going to have more socialism and more homosexuality and more perversion and more nonsense and throwing money at stuff and all that. Okay, it's your fault. It's not the politician's fault, it's yours. If the church doesn't hear the word of God and say, I'm going to choose what God has chosen, and I don't want to wait for another generation, I want to do it now, today. That's your decision. You get to decide that. I've already chosen. I know for sure I could lose everything and I lose nothing because I know for sure God made a promise. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. I'm certain of it. Therefore, I don't need to see anything to believe that. I can just hear, and faith cometh by hearing. I can just hear it and that's the end of it. I'm so confident, so certain about that, I'm fully persuaded that that's the way it's going to be. But yet I see no sign, I see nothing out there, and I don't want one. I don't even want any encouragement. I'm going to go and enjoy myself for a whole week listening to stuff I don't believe a word of. And that's fine. It'll all be just a big parade and a big show. And you say, well, why do it? I like doing it. I love doing that because that's what God told me to do, and I'm going to do what God told me to do. Well, let's say you're wrong, Pastor Jim. Okay, well, I like doing wrong then. I'm going to do it anyway. Because unless God tells me not to do it, I'm going to do it. Why? Because I believe he did tell me to do it. And so I don't have to be right. All I have to do is be faithful. I will answer to God correctly. Did you think I said that? Yes, I did. Okay, that's why you did the wrong thing? Yeah, that's why I did the wrong thing. So you see, it doesn't scare me to do the wrong thing because I'm not after right and wrong. What I'm after is faithful to whatever I believe. So I believe that Texas is going to be a leader, but she isn't today. And I see no hope for it. I'm in a race, by the way, also, with somebody, and they could easily win. But they may or they may not. And I don't really care. I don't care how it comes out. I'm not working at it. I'm not sweating. I'm not laboring. I'm just simply, I did everything. But I don't have any confidence in Jim. I do have confidence that God will have his way. And if it means falling apart, well, let's fall apart. I'll enjoy the Titanic going down. And I'll still do shuffleboard on the thing. But what I'm saying is you got to have the joy of the Lord. How many have unspeakable joy? Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Amen. That's a Christian sign. That's a sign that you're a believer. Look, you're not part of this world. You've been purchased. You've been bought with a price. Not for heaven. You've been bought for heaven on earth so that men, when they see your good works, will give glory to the Father in heaven so that others can get in. It's not for you. You can get in just by chair four. You can simply believe in Jesus, die the next second, you're fine. Because God knows everything and he knows how to judge. But I do not have any faith in anything that's out there. I don't belong to anything that's out there because I believe that the churches are the darkness. And if the light that is in you be dark, then great is the darkness. I believe the churches are darkness today. But I also believe Jesus said he built it. So I believe both. I believe that what I'm looking at doesn't look like what God promised, but I believe what God promised is greater than what I'm looking at. Do y'all see that? One thing is wrong with the churches today, we don't really love people. We don't love people from other cultures and other, you know, whatever. I think we're doing everything wrong in terms of immigration and alien and all that kind of stuff and so on and so forth. Look, if we're a good place to come, then come. I don't care about the policies and all this kind of stuff because I don't believe that's where the problem is. The problem is when you bring someone just because of a policy, you have to have your heart right. I can go to another country and die over there as easy as I can stay here and die over here. So it doesn't matter where I go. But you have to love people. When I go among the Muslims, I love Muslims. But I don't love them because they're Muslim. I love them because they're people. Mm-hmm. And when I'm in Africa, I don't care about what their views are, or what their values are, or anything else. I just love them. I love communists. I love socialists. I love witchcraft, Satanists. I love them. Why? Because that's Jesus. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me because he loves me. Now, that is real with me. I'm not convincing anybody. I'm just telling you that's real for me. So I am for heaven on earth. It's a choice. You want to choose it? You don't have to. You don't have to. If you're not ready, don't. There's nothing, no point in showing off that you believe it when you don't. So, but if you do believe it, raise your hand. So if heaven on earth could come today and you're one of those heaven on earth people, how does it look? Are you in chair 4, 5, or 6? Okay, how many are in chair 4 only? Doesn't matter. It's good. Yeah. How many are in chair 5? It may not matter, but people are in chair 4 and 5, and you need to know what chair you're in so that you can grow. Otherwise, you'll think you're mature when you're immature, or you'll think you're immature when you're actually, you know, learning and being discipled, disciplined. Okay, the first one is justification, the second one is sanctification, the third one is glorification. The first one is your heart is totally trusting God. The second one is, now I want my cross and I'm willing to suffer and be chastened and taught and trained and get rid of all the flesh that rules my life right now. I don't want to be ruled by flesh anymore, certainly not today, and I'll start again tomorrow and I'll start again the next day. I want all the sin gone from my life. How many are right there? This is good. Where you say, God, I can't do it, but you can, so do it. You promised. You do it. I can't clean up. I can behave myself, but I know that's not going to get me in. But you need to behave. You need to keep your promise. How many believe that Jesus died, and he was a good man, but he needs now then to cause you to voluntarily surrender to him, submit to him and say, Jesus, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. If I do it in the flesh or in the spirit, whatever, but I'll do it. I'm ready to go all the way with you. And the last group are those that are lovers because you no longer are alive. You're dead to this world and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So you're a lover. Start with your wife. Start with your husband. Start with your children. Start with your own family. And you have some relatives that are difficult to love. You do. And you have some family members, perhaps, who have, you know, misused you or whatever and so on and so forth. Well, get right with them. That's why you have to bless everybody. Love everybody unconditionally, no condition whatsoever. That's the sign of the kingdom of God, heaven on earth. It's just as God forgives sinners, so you have to forgive everybody that sins against you. How many have been sinned against by somebody? Somebody has abused you or misused you or, you know, ignored you or didn't see how wonderful you were or something. Okay, forgive them. In fact, thank God for that person. Thank God for that person, because you wouldn't have needed Jesus if that person had been your source or your supply. And so it's good that someone let you down somewhere and abused you somewhere. That's why we have divorce so much in the church today, is because people don't want imperfect people as husbands and wives. I don't know what else you're going to get. Because that's just people. People are not that dependable. I've never seen a scripture that said, put your faith in man. I've never seen a scripture that said that man is your source or your supply. I've seen it said that only God is good, and only God is good, and only God is good. And there is no one else good but God, Jesus said. When someone said, well, you're good, he said, no, I'm not. This is what Jesus said, I'm not. The Father who dwells in me doeth the works. You thought that was a good work? Yes. I didn't do it. That was the Father who dwells in me. Now, you have that same Father dwelling in you through the Holy Spirit. This has already been done, by the way. When Jesus died on the cross, this was all done. It's only for you to say, I'm going to walk in that then. I'm going to believe that, and then I'm going to choose that, and then I'm going to do that. Because of the power of the Holy Ghost that's inside of me, and I'm going to start today. Knows I don't need to wait for a rhema. I don't need to wait for some kind of miracle or sign or wonder. I just need to walk today and say, you know, I'm starting today. So how many are ready to start today to go and bless somebody that doesn't deserve it? Because you don't wait for people that deserve it. There aren't any. So just start blessing people today. Just say, what a blessing to see you today. Well, Pastor, if I said that, I'd be lying. No, if you don't say that, you'll be lying. If you're a believer. Now, if you're not a believer, you would be lying. But if you're a believer and you believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for you, then you also need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost so that you have the power to destroy the works of the enemy. And you do, not Jesus. This is Jesus in you, Jesus, you. That's the new you. That there's a whole bunch of I's there. The new I is different than the old I, the one that needs to be crucified I. But the new you is Christ in you, you. It's not you. It's certainly not the natural you, because the natural you is not good. The best the natural you can do is lie. No matter what, the natural you is not perfect. How many know that? It's not perfect. So therefore, as far as God judges, whatever the natural man does, even if it seems to you it's good, and even if other people say it's good, it's not good. Because God wants you, his intention was, when he created you, that you would come and live with him forever and ever and ever and ever. So that's what's good, is to believe that. That God is good. That God is great. That God is able. And that nothing is depending on you, since it's all been done by God. Thank you. I praise you. I adore and worship you. It's a simple gospel that we have, but it's not being lived. So the day has come. The time has come. Who would like to stand up and say, Pastor, I want heaven on earth in my life today, and I'll go from there. Somebody wanted to say that. Yes, stand up and say it. Amen. Praise God. See, there's love, joy, peace. You've got it. Who else? Yeah, Parthenia. Amen.
I'm ready for heaven to invade this earth so that God can manifest in my life.
Yes.
And so all men could see and declare how awesome my dad is.
Yeah. Yes. Yahoo! Yeah. Powerful. Yes. Powerful. Anybody can do it. Anybody. Yes.
Yes. I want heaven on earth to begin in me so that I can give to where the Lord puts me and needs me, where he wants me.
Powerful. It's powerful. These are just testimonies, but they're not. I mean, only God knows your heart. But God knows. These are words. These are good words. Let God fill them. Don't you fill them. Don't you make them sincere. Just let God fill them. But it's good to testify. It's good to step out. And that's how you find out other things. As soon as you make a commitment, that's when you learn how unequipped you are. But that's okay, because God's fully equipped to take care of unequipped people. He'd never call you to anything you could do. He always calls you to something you cannot do so that you need him, so that he can then manifest his glory to you and in you and through you.
Amen.
Who else? Anyone else? Yes, way at the back.
Only not equipped.
Amen. Amen. See, that's powerful. That's all. Just be you. Just be you. Just be you. We don't care which you are. Be any you. But be you. Come clean. God, this is me right now. I don't even think I like you. It's okay. He's okay with that. Or, I love you. He's okay with that. He's okay with anything. Just let him do it all. Yes. Praise God. Powerful. All right. God is good. David.